Good morning, church. I enjoyed the drive out here, as especially it was a clear day. it was a welcome change to all the clouds and rain we've been having, although we need all the clouds and the rain as well. But it was really beautiful just to see the blue sky and to see the silhouette of the mountain. And something about that just draws my heart to the Lord that way. I have the privilege and the blessing of being able to talk with new people who come to our church and be able to sit down with them in a little room back there and to tell them about the church, tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, tell them about what membership in the church is about, and how to participate in our church. I do that for a very small number of people normally, just maybe once or twice a year. And as I've been doing this, one of the things that happened was I had people who were wondering, what are you doing here? Because I would invite the new people to come if you want to be a member. But what if you've been a member already? Typically, you wouldn't go to this class because you're already a member. And so sometimes we would have people who were long-timers who would come and join us in that class. And from time to time, they would say, you know, we should have this. Everybody in the whole church should be able to get this. And so I've been reflecting on that for many, many years now, because this is nothing new. It just takes me a long time to kind of, these things, they just kind of settle into my brain and understand how to go about it. So I finally decided, I'm going to go ahead and do this. What I do in that class back there, the invitation to West Oahu, welcome to West Oahu class, I'm going to be doing for the whole church. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be going over the things that we cover in that class. So if you are, hopefully if you've been through that class, this will be a refresher and reinforce some of the things that we went through. And if you've never been through this before, well, you get to see what I go through. And it's a big view of the church, of our conference, of our church, of how we are to participate as believers in our church. You know, we just finished the Gospel of Luke, and I went back to my early messages in the book of Luke, and we were in Luke for 3 years. So, we finished Luke. Do I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah, okay. Now, there are other Gospels, right, that we can go through. No, I'm not going to be going through those right now. Otherwise, it'll take another 20 years. But the other Gospels, there's Matthew, Mark, and John, in addition to Luke. And those Gospels speak about the ministry of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts talks about the launch of the church. And most of the times when we talk about the Bible, and when we talk about books of the Bible, we study issues that are going on. We ask for a personal response. What do you need to do? How do you understand this? And that's with most of our teachings. How do you as an individual need to obey what God is saying here? When we go into the church, we're talking about something much bigger. So we're looking at the entire church, the church universal. We're talking about the local church, denominations. We're talking about membership. So now we begin asking, how does the church need to respond? How should the church respond? And I have never really addressed that as a topic before. So I'm eager to go through this. I'm a little bit nervous, although I feel really at ease when we do it in a small group. I'm a little nervous doing it in the church because it's not your typical sermon. So if you have your handout, this is the handout here, and this is directly out of that little ministry manual that I hand out in the group that I lead toward membership and baptism. So we're going to be following this, okay? This will be our outline. And at the end of this next several weeks, you'll be able to understand what we go through and hopefully be rooted better, maybe even in your faith. So beyond just what is a church is about, how do we behave, and what is our part in the church? Father, we ask for your anointing upon this time here today. Lord, I just want to affirm here that it is your church. It is not Stan's church. It is not any one of our churches. And Lord, it is your church. Thank you for all the things you've taught us in the church. And even as we go over a few ideas here today, Lord, that you have revealed, this is just scratching the surface. But it's a start, and I pray, Lord, that you help us to all get on the same page so that we can be better able to move forward together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing I do in our class together is I share the gospel. And I share the bridge illustration, which I've shared here before. And many of you are familiar with that. The urge here for every person that we talk to, the urge is to ask them, where are they? Do they hear the word of God calling out to them to receive Jesus Christ? Because I believe, as the Apostle Peter said, God does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Every single one, God wants to come to repentance. That's on God's heart. Now we become, as we take the message to people, we become agents of that message, and we urge people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those people who feel that tug of the Lord to cross that bridge, which pretty much all, everyone here has done, you become born again. Certain things happen to you. So I pray that you won't look at this as something that is too ordinary, because all of these things are really fantastic as we look at it deeper. So if you have your notes page over there, if you have a pen or pencil, the first bullet item over there, number one, what happens when you place your faith in Jesus Christ? You are born again. In John chapter 3 and John chapter 1, Jesus talked about this thing, that you're born of God. You're not born of physical parents in this case. You're born spiritually. You're born into God's family, and you become a child of God. And that's the most beautiful thing. And it leads to a lot of other things here that we are looking at. Being born again, of course, is a metaphor that Jesus has. You are estranged from God, but when you're born into God's family, now you are a child of God. Number two says, we are born of God. Can you write God in there? John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed his name, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not by human will or a husband's choice, but born of God. That is, God now welcomes you into his family. God becomes your father, and you have a new relationship with him. Number three, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. In addition to those scriptures there, a scripture I like is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. That says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you. Isn't that amazing? That God would send his Holy Spirit to live in us. We think of the Old Testament as the writer in the Bible is in the New Testament, refer back to that image of the temple where God filled the temple. His very presence was among the people in the temple of God. And God says, I'm going to live in you through my Holy Spirit. Number four, you have a relationship with God. A relationship with God. These scriptures here talk about our being able to call God our Father, Abba. Abba, Father. You know what the word Abba means? It means daddy. It's a personal, less formal term of referring to your father, dad. You know that you can call God your dad? That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Number five, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Why is this important? It's important because we have a conscience, and in our consciences are sins plague us. Our sins haunt us. We think of things that we've done in the past that are bad and wrong, and we feel bad about that. And we need the Word of God telling us your sins are forgiven. And in that, God removes not only the sins, but that sense of guilt. Has anybody ever said, I forgive you, but you just still feel so terrible and guilty inside? God comes along and says, I want to remove that sense of guilt as well. So your sins are forgiven. And finally here, you have eternal life in paradise. Number 6, you have eternal life in paradise. This is the typical thing we talk about when we're going to go to heaven. Idea of paradise, imagine that word. Jesus describes presence with him as paradise. Anything you can imagine of goodness, of nourishment, of wholesomeness, of healing. That's what heaven is like. That's paradise. It's free of conflict, free of anger and animosity. Everything is in its place. No more chaos. No more war and destruction. I know that all of you, pretty much all of you, have invited Jesus Christ into your life. But just in case, I want to offer this prayer and give you a chance to pray along with me. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life, I would like you to pray this prayer with me so that you can join us in the family of God. Lord Jesus, let's go ahead and just pray this. Everyone pray this together out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Now, God, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for being my God. I want to know you. I want to live with you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer sincerely, Jesus Christ will come into your life. And so what happens after that? A lot of people think that that's it. Now I'm in, I'm good. But really, that's just the beginning. If you continue on in that metaphor of being born again, when a baby is born, that isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. And so you feed and nourish that baby, and they see the child grow. So the next question comes up, and how can I grow as a Christian? If we take a look at the bottom half of that worksheet that you have there, the first thing to do is to partake regularly of God's Word. Partake regularly of God's Word. God's Word is given in the Bible. The Bible is the written Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And when you hear sermons or preaching or teaching, that's the spoken Word of God. So we want to participate in God's Word. And as we do that, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 speaks of the Word as milk, milk of the Word. You think about that. As you grow as a baby, you have this milk and all this nutrients in there. And the meat and complex food is too difficult for you at this time. You start off with milk, and it nourishes you. And so that's the first thing. Partake regularly of God's Word. Number 2 is confess your sins. Confess your sins. God forgives you of your sins, yes, but we continue to sin. And so God wants us to have clean accounts. Just continue to clean out your life and to know that even though that one sacrifice covers all of your sins, for the sake of our own spiritual walk and staying clean with the Lord, continue to confess your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, not only does he cleanse you of that particular sin that you remember, but all the ones you haven't even thought about, which is 99% of them. Amen? Number three, be connected with Christian worship and fellowship. Continue to meet together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. So that's the whole idea here of Christian worship and fellowship, is to be involved in with other people's lives, to connect, just to stay connected to people. I think online church is good. I do not think it's adequate. You need to have human beings where you're just really connecting in with people. Number four is to pray regularly. Pray regularly. As part of the end of the book of Luke, one of the things that I said was, Jesus' resurrection proves to us that our relationship with him is real. He proves to us through his resurrection that our relationship with him is real. Wow, he really did rise from the dead. He's not just a neat prophet or a wise man who gave all these wise words and died and leaves us simply with wise sayings. He is alive, and he says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And that's why when we pray, he hears us. So pray regularly. Number five, to serve others. Serve others. This is one of those things that is one of the functions that we do. Not only do we grow inwardly, we use that growth inwardly one day to be able to use it outwardly. So the baby grows and grows and grows, and it grows through a childhood, through adulthood, and when you're in adulthood, the goal there is to continue to eat, but now you want to use what you've eaten as strength to serve outwardly. And finally, number six, share Christ with others. Share Christ with others. That is, we talk about this quite a bit. It is our Great Commission. It is our mission that we talk about sharing, about empowering and encouraging and discipling others. Our mission statement, which is to seed, to share, empower, encourage, and disciple people. To share Christ with others is like playing dominoes, but not the dominoes with the numbers on them. Of course, they have numbers on them, right? I'm thinking about the dominoes. I don't know how to play dominoes, the actual game dominoes, but I do know how to set them up on the stand them up. You guys know how to stand up dominoes on a table? You've never done that before? And then you knock them down, you get, and sometimes you get real fancy. You have one line going like this, and it goes, and you split them off. All right. Right? And sometimes those two come back together and make one line. And those two lines can form more lines, right? Okay, so that's sharing Christ with others. We don't want to be the last domino, okay? The domino stopped with us. We want to be able to share Christ with others. Now, not everybody's going to come to Christ in the way we typically understand it to be, but God can use you, and he wants to use you to be used to influence the next person. From here, we grow as a Christian, and this is the whole idea of church. This whole idea of church. So I want to ask this question here as we move on to the topic of our own personal walk, to the idea of church. What is church anyway? What does that mean? Is it a place to go on Sunday? Is it the place you go on Sunday? Or church, that's where I go on Sunday. Or when I go to a Bible study or something, oh, I'm going to church. Oh, I got to clean up the church. What is it? And I think we have a lot of misunderstandings about that. And sometimes, if we misunderstand what church is about, we can begin thinking that church is maybe a club. We pay our dues and we can belong to this club. Or maybe it's like a country club where we go there and everything's supposed to be fun and enjoyable and relaxing. And I hope that we do have enjoyment and relaxing, a lot of it. But is it just a club? Is it a country club or is it more? I'm going to suggest today that the church is unlike any earthly organization because it is divine. It is connected to God himself. It is not merely an organization where a bunch of people get together and agree to form a group. We're much, much more than that. And I'm going to ask you to flip your page over, and we're going to get a running start into this next section called the church. And we're going to continue this next week. And the church is the word ekklesia. It's the Greek word ekklesia. And that is not an unusual word in the Greek, in ancient Greek. This was a word that was used many, many years, centuries in fact, before Jesus utilized it to talk about the people that he is his followers. It was used of ancient Greeks to call people together. And it was this idea of ekklesia is come out of your homes, come out of your recreation, come out of your places of individuality. Let's come together and let's do life together. Let's make a decision together. When you had to make a decision, a community decision, they would call together the church, the ekklesia, the group where we got together. And this is where, finally in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus used that word, and Jesus uses this word to say, I will build my church. I will build my group, my gathering, my followers, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it is in its original definition, these are people where Jesus is calling people out from their individuality to belong to something bigger. And there's a lot of different terms that the Bible uses about this thing that is bigger. And we'll go into that next week. But this is where it all starts. And we're understanding where the church is. There is a big church, there's a small church, and then there are individuals. Okay, we're going to talk more about that. And really, we're just kind of warming up the engines here. Next week, we're going to get more into that. And we're going to just really hit it. And we're going to just really get excited about what the church is about. Our Father, we thank you for giving us your amazing church through Jesus Christ. Lord, I'll speak for myself, Lord. I'm just astounded by the church. The church blows my mind, just the thought of it. And I pray, Lord, that as we study your word, as we catch a glimpse of what the church means to you, that we would have more of the church on our hearts and that we would understand more of what the church means to us. We want to have on our hearts what you have in your heart. Father, thank you for all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, because now they are part of the church. Lord, we know that that glory goes beyond all we can imagine. But we thank you, Lord, that you would reveal to us your plan for how you want to work in the world and in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.